This morning we started a new sermon series, and I'm calling it Transformed, and I want it to be about a change of our perspective as we look at what it is that we're to do as we engage God more deeply. And so we're using as our scripture lesson the story about Nicodemus. You've heard the story about Nicodemus before? Let's see if I can tell you something new that you didn't think of, as that was, even in those eight verses, there are things that are very interesting. Now, there was a Pharisee. Now, and we know about Pharisees. At least we've heard about Pharisees. Pharisees believed that if they could keep the letter of the law just absolutely perfect, then the Messiah would show up. It was about perfect rule keeping. So the Pharisees wanted to make sure they didn't take one extra step that would violate the law, that they didn't, their lips didn't touch the wrong thing, that everything they did was just, every T was crossed and every I was dotted, so that their life was absolutely perfect, because when they could live the perfect day, Jesus would return and the Romans would be ousted. So if they could live a perfect God-ruled life, this is the guy who's showing up to talk to Jesus, Mr. Rule Keeper, named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. And the phrase "the Jews" in the Gospel of John should be understood in a fairly technical sense. It is the first century Jewish establishment that is corrupt. Every time you see the phrase "the Jews" in the Gospel of John, you shouldn't think an ethnic group or a group of folks from a certain country. You should understand that in the Gospel of John, that means a very specific group of folks. The establishment that was corrupt, that was in charge of the Jewish community and the temple, that was during the first century. He came to Jesus by night. And if there's one thing you'll notice in the Gospel of John, light and dark, lightness and darkness means something special. If you come out of the light, then you're on target. If you walk to Jesus to talk to Jesus in the darkness, this story already has said rule-keeping Nicodemus was in the darkness. Not just because it was night, but because he was lost. And then we get to this beautiful sentence. "Truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." I don't know about you, but I've heard that line about a zillion times. It was the main phrase that was spoken to us in the, middle to late 70s. Born again, born from above. You want to know something really bad? That double entendre, the born from above and born again, it only exists in Greek. It doesn't exist in Aramaic or Hebrew, and therefore Jesus couldn't have said it. What? Now, I'm also going to tell you that's not the critical piece in the story, but Jesus couldn't have said, because he spoke Aramaic and read Hebrew, couldn't have said this phrase. "Truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above," or born again. Now, I am going to tell you that that fits in line with who Jesus is in all the Gospels, and that there's truth in this, even though if Jesus didn't say it. Jesus says all the time, you must lose your life in order to gain it. That's what this is saying. But don't get so caught up that you got to know the words by heart that you can't listen to God's Spirit in the midst of it. This sermon series, I want to introduce you to a sense that every part of who we are as Christians is to be engaged by God in such a deep way that our life is transformed, that there's this big change in our life, and we become different people. We grow up and we try to nurture our own selves, and then we hit a certain age and our own work has kind of just put us in a position where we're running around in circles or we're following that rat race or something like that. But I want you to get that what Jesus tells all of us is you have to have this big change, this birth from God, this metamorphosis. Did you see the movie Groundhog Day? All right, it's a silly example, but it's a really good example. The guy keeps doing the same day over and over and over and over, and he finds out that life is kind of meaningless and ends up trying to end each one of those days by a different creative way of committing suicide. He wants to have sensuous activities where he's eating all kinds of decadent desserts because it just doesn't matter. He eats pancakes like they're going out of style, and he tries to get the girl. And it's all very narrow. The only reason he learns to play the piano is so he can get the girl. The only reason he does this is so he can get the girl. But there comes this time in the movie when it's, I'm going to save this guy's life. I'm going to do what it takes. And his life, his perspective changes. It's that big change that makes us be somebody different. And I think it's being who God calls us to be. The imagery I want to use this year is from Michigan, from around Lake Louise in Michigan, from this past fall. The leaves were changing. In Florida, you don't get to see this very well. We go straight from green to brown. But what captured me was that essentially the leaves changed from the inside out. It was kind of like they got injected with a dye that spread out from the root, what came up from the roots of the tree, and ended up just seeping into the leaves. Changed from the inside out. For some of us, that means we've got to reattach our heart to our mind. Those of us who are real heady kind of people need to engage our hearts, and that's where we're transformed, is when those two come together. Some folks live in their heart, and they make their decisions based on their heart, and those folks get captured when both of those come together. The imagery that I'd like for us to, before I call up our guest speaker this morning, the imagery I really want to deal with and make us dwell in from this story is, it says you must be born again or born from above, but the issue is birth. How easy is that? Those of you who have given birth, delightful experience, just no problem, right? It doesn't take too long. It's essentially you stand up and say, I love Jesus, and poof, you're changed into Christian. But what if we said that becoming a Christ follower in God's sense and having a God birth means we've got to go through labor? Women understand what I'm talking about. I have no clue what I'm talking about. Not been in a room when a baby was being born. I get invited 2 days later when she looks nice enough that she's willing to have a preacher guest come into the room. But other than that, I don't get to experience birth in the same way some of you have experienced birth. Are there keen insights you have from giving birth to children that you can help me with? Breathe and focus. It's so bad, you're delighted when it's over. What if I told you that in order to be born of God, that you've got to have an experience that is so bad, you'll be glad when it's over? Before we're done with this sermon series, we'll hear stories from somebody who has said, it was so bad, I just wanted to die. Rebirth. Focus and breathing. If you don't breathe, there's no life for the mother and no life for the baby. Breathe, breathe, breathe. Do you have a sense that you would not breathe if somebody didn't say breathe? There are some times during the process where if somebody didn't coach you to breathe, you might stop breathing. Anything else about birth? You can explain to a 56-year-old man who has no clue what he's talking about. There is this incredible joy. You get this prize at the end of the... What if I told you there was a great prize at the end? That if you'll walk through the labor process, if you'll nurture this process and then you'll go through whatever it is that changes us from the inside out, it is not a happy experience, I can't imagine. And that tree is going to feel like it has died. And it becomes something new and different. And turns out every leaf that falls on the ground becomes nourishment for the next generation. And the best thing you can do for a tree is to let the nourishment that came out of that tree fall nearby, so the canopy of the tree, the branches, go out as far as the roots do, so that every time a leaf falls from that tree and lands on the ground, it lands in a place where it will feed the next generation of tree. This morning, we've asked Smyrna to come up and talk a little bit about a life change for her that she experienced this year. You want to come up? That's all I'm going to introduce so they can be surprised. And I'm going to take notes.
Hi, everybody. Here's this good. My name is Smyrna Clark. I'm currently a junior in high school. I'm also dual enrolled. I've been coming to this church for most of my life through the summers. I'm president of a community service club, and I work a part-time job in a giant ice cream cone. And I had all that before I went to Guatemala, and I thought that was great, but I didn't appreciate it. I did not appreciate the fact that I could go to school, get an education, walk out into the world with a diploma, get a job, I can continue my further education through scholarships and grants, I can go to college, and I can step out into the world and support myself through a job. Well, when I went to Guatemala, I saw how hard it was to have that same experience and initiative to go and go to school and support yourself. I was given the opportunity to go to Guatemala by John and Susan Hall, also Barbara Travis. Let me know about the whole experience, and also my family helped support me too, along with Emily Edwards, who helped me get some youth scholarship money to go. And I just want to thank all those people because this experience truly changed my life. Stepping into Guatemala, I didn't know what to expect. I had never been out of the continent before, except on islands, and what I saw for my first couple days just really did blow my mind. I was able to see what it was like to support your family. There was a guy who supported his family by selling stickers on the side of the road. People mostly sold like scarves and clothes, and I just got to see what real work went into supporting your family when you didn't have an education, because you didn't have the opportunity, when you weren't able to walk out and support your family off of your job. While I was in Guatemala, we worked through a clinic called Saludi Paz. It was also a school, the Susanna Wesley School. And we were able to get the classrooms ready for the kids. They started school in January. And we also got the medical clinic ready by counting pills. They see hundreds of patients. Guatemala has a very terrible healthcare system. Also, they have no postal system, no clean water, as Cuba, and it's just like all their food has lots of bacteria in it. It's not very sanitary. And before I went to Guatemala, I was not grateful for that. I was not grateful for the fact that I can turn on my faucet and be able to drink that water. I was not grateful for the fact that I didn't have to go to, I could go to the store, grab a piece of fruit, and wouldn't have to worry. In Guatemala, it's a lot different because people are unable to have sanitary needs because they can't afford them and their government's not helping them. We are given this opportunity and we need to share the love is what I believe in. So that's why I think the Cuba water purification product is such a great thing. But as I was saying, at the school, we helped paint. We got to see the kids. We gave them backpacks. Over 50 backpacks were distributed for the kids with school supplies, knits and hats knitted by the, mittens and hats knitted by the church, I believe. And I just thought it was so amazing to see that the kids had so little. I mean, they were thankful for what they had on their back. They were thankful that they had a home to go to. They were thankful for the food they were given at the school. And it truly blew my mind because I came back to America and I saw that kids would throw a fit because they didn't get the iPhone they wanted for Christmas. I mean, it just is so crazy if you go to a third world country and see what it's like to have so little, but see the people so happy and see the kindness in their hearts. While I was there, I went to a church. It was a Methodist church. And the first moment I walked in, you get a hug from everybody. Everybody is just so glad you're there. They're so thankful to see you. And I just felt so much love while I was there. So much kindness, so much compassion that these people felt towards each other, even though they barely knew each other. They were happy to see them. They were happy they were alive that day. They were happy that they made it to church, that they didn't have any other commitments, that they were able to worship in front of God. And it just blows my mind, the amazing thing God does, the amazing things God does in a situation where materialistic items are not what matters. What matters is the love in your hearts, the love for Jesus, and the kindness they show towards one another, and even their guests. I felt so welcome. I felt when I left, I had a whole new family. I made friends Jennifer and Lorena. I still video chat them on Facebook through, they have Wi-Fi at the clinic that they're able to use since they volunteer there. Jack and Barbara Travis are sponsoring Lorena to go to nursing school so she can get her degree and go back to back out into Guatemala, into her town, and help save lives, because that's what they need. They need help saving lives. I mean, every day people die of starvation and disease and bacteria, just like in America, but they don't have access to the health care that we do, because we are given so much, and they are given so little. But they still are thankful for what they have. They are grateful, they pray, and I'm sure they love Jesus just as much as we do, because when I talk to Jennifer, she just says, God bless you. Thank you for being here. It was truly the most amazing experience of my life. I am so much more appreciative of everything in my life right now than I was before I went to Guatemala. My mom has been through a lot. She went through a divorce with my dad, and it was very messy. And seeing how she was able to overcome that really makes me see that we have such strong family values that come out when they need to, just like in Guatemala, where they're always shown. I mean, they're always there for each other. They're always hugging each other, loving each other and stuff. But when we need to, America shows, like, the family values, how much we appreciate each other. And I think we need to show it even more than we already do. We need to say, thank you for being here. Thank you for being in my life. Thank you for doing what you do for me. Thank you for showing me the love of Jesus and bringing me to church and allowing me to speak right here in front of you. Just thank you for everything. I'm so blessed. I can't wait to go back to Guatemala and help out more than I have. I'd love to even spend more time than I did there. Just seeing how God works was truly amazing, and it will change my life forever. I could speak about Guatemala for days just because there was so much love and compassion that I didn't see before I went, and now that I know that it exists and it's there, and we just need to bring it out and show that that's what we're here for. We're here to love. We're here to show kindness and appreciativeness, and I couldn't have had a better experience, and thank you.
Maybe you've had some kind of experience in your life that changed the way you see things. Maybe it was summer camp. Probably half the clergy I know had such an incredible summer camp experience that it became part of their call story. Maybe you went on a spiritual retreat. Maybe you wandered through the death of a parent at the side of the bed. Maybe it was scripture reading. Maybe it was a health issue for a family member that changed your perspective. You can see that Smyrna changed. She's got this bubbly gratitude. And hopefully, after a few months, that bubbly gratitude doesn't kind of disappear, because for some of us, the spiritual experience we look at is really a mountaintop emotional experience. But I'm looking for something that's bigger than a one-time mountaintop experience. I want to tell the stories of places where you've been changed so much that your old self dies. Your selfish dreams die, and you say, yep, that's not me anymore. All it takes for some folks is having children. Your whole perspective shifts. And for other folks, it takes the loss of a child. Where is it? One of the lines in the scripture that we miss if we're not careful, this is one of those layers. It says you have to be born of water and the Spirit, but the key is it doesn't mean everybody's got to be baptized. It means you got to have the right kind of baptism, because baptism, the way baptism was understood at the time that the Gospel of John was written, was that you essentially close your eyes, you cross your arms, and you fall back into it, and you go under this muddy water. And the perception is not that it's a bathing thing and you come back out clean. It's that you die and are buried and you come back into new life. The way into the church was death and resurrection. That who you are in your own selfish desires dies and you shift into something else, something God makes in you. Your story is different than mine. I can tell you lots of ways that God has had those transforming moments for me. During the course of the sermon series, I hope we can tell that story a lot from a bunch of different perspectives. And part of that is so that you'll go, oh, that's where mine is. Did any of you go to a third world country when you were younger and all of a sudden change your mindset? I got a couple. Mission trips. For some, it's travel. I mean, because you can go as a tourist and have your eyes awakened a bit, but when you go to a place as a missionary, it's a different perspective. I'm going for the sake of love. You can find that gratitude, but you don't find the purpose if you're a tourist. So my hope during this sermon series is that we will look much, much deeper at our spiritual lives and who we are in God's great plan, God's dream for us, and that we can live into that different, that big change. You willing to go along with me on that ride? Fabulous. Let us pray. Gracious God, we know that at times our change is big and it is quick, and at other times it is slow and it gathers steam. Lord, help us to see the way that we grow into the new people that we become in your eyes, and how we have these dramatic birth experiences where everything changes. Lord, let us understand that you call each and every one of us to be transformed into a new creation, to be fully yours. Make us all aware of our blessings. Make us all giddy in our gratitude. Help us to share your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.